Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
And as we mentioned in some of these other messages, we're here in Marion, North Carolina at the Faith and Freedom Salt and Light Conference. And they have some amazing speakers here. And we have, between Jack and I, Marcy, I'm not even going to pronounce your last name because I can't. And she can tell us what her full official name is. And we're just honored to have you with us today. And so we'll just have a conversation, ask you questions. Tell us about your book that you've written as well as we go through. And I'll post the links to that on the video so people can find access and get access to your messages that you're trying to share.
This is definitely a rose between two thorns.
Oh, man. I tell you, it is. So, Jack, you want to start us off?
Well, we start off all of our podcasts in the same way. We are excited to hear about how Christ reaches out to everyone. And the folks that we interview, and I think over the 100 that we've done, I believe they've all been a Christian. Right?
Yes.
And so they all have a Christian testimony. So we like to hear and share and be thrilled by how it is that you came to Christ.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me in your program. It's such an honor to share my story. But it's a longer story. It started from my childhood. I was living in Iran, which is a very Islamic country, and I experience how it is like living under the harsh dictates of Islam from my childhood. But I was very curious to know more about God, because in Islam, under Islam, they teach us that all about punishment, and it's not about love at all. And especially those punishment for women are much worse. And I remember at schools, they would describe different kinds of tortures to us, that after committing the slightest sins, that God would punish us like that. But I couldn't accept that. And I was just keep asking questions and challenging the Islamic rules at school, in my theology classes. For example, in Islam, we had to pray namaz 5 times a day and just keep repeating the same Arabic verse, which is not my language. And I had that question, why I have to speak to my God in Arabic instead of my native language, Farsi. If I talk to him in Farsi, he wouldn't listen to me. Why I have to bend in front of him, why I have to cover myself in front of him whenever I talk to him, why I have to talk to him just specific times a day. I had all those questions in my mind, and but I couldn't get answer, and they just told me you should follow the Islamic rules. And I tried to do that for a few years, because I was thirsty to know God, to find the truth. And praise God, God for the first time spoke to me through one of my dreams. When I was 17 to 18 years old, it was through a white horse that he revealed the true face of Islam and also his love to me. But at that time, I didn't know anything about Jesus. And but through that dream, revealing his amazing love was the first experience to me that I could taste that amazing love. And it really changed my life. And after that, a few years later, one of my friends who has converted to Christianity, she talked to me for the first time about Jesus. And it was unbelievable to hear that Jesus is the Son of God. I couldn't believe that, but I was curious. I got the Bible, started reading. And again, I had more questions. And God started talking to me through other dreams and visions. I had the experience of healing. It's a long story that I shared in my both books, the first one, Captive in Iran, and second one, A Love Journey with God. And because of all those experiences that I had, I began to believe that Jesus is the truth. But the day that really changed my life was the day that I was alone in my room. I was praying to God, talking to him in my own language. And suddenly I received the flames of the Holy Spirit, the power of God on me. And I started praying in other languages that I didn't know about it at all. And I just, for a few seconds, God gave me a vision. I saw Jesus right in front of me in white clothes. And beside him, there was a big throne, which was covered with shining clothes. And at that time, I felt I'm not on the earth. And I felt that God had removed the curtain before my eyes and I could see the truth very clear about him. And it happened without my control. It took like a few hours. It started from late at night until early hours in the morning. And then after that amazing experience, I was just keep crying and worshiping him. I dedicated my whole life to Jesus.
Oh, wow. I've got goosebumps. Yeah, I hear so many people are having visions in the Middle East. God, they're being converted just through the visions and the dreams.
Imagine in a country like Iran that you don't have access to Bible.
You don't have access
to any church. But I mentioned today that, praise God, we have amazing, powerful God that no one can stop him to approach to people. And it's not just me. Many people in Iran came to faith through visions and dreams, and God showed himself that way.
But tell our listeners what your book is like.
Yeah, and after that, I was so passionate and to share my faith with my people. I went to Turkey and I attended some leadership theology classes. And then I returned to Iran with my friend because I wanted to share that message with my people. I knew how much Iranians are thirsty to know this message.
Were you afraid?
You know that when you meet God, when you experience his love, you don't have any fear of anything happening to you. And I was so passionate to give this message to my people. That's why we started a mission. It was, again, from God to by scattering. He showed me that Iran is like a big land, that there is no seed. This land is like a dry land, and you need to scatter some seeds. Then I will grow each one of them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we got that vision, and we started distributing our Bibles. In Tehran, the capital of Iran, we asked the ministry that we were working with them to send thousands of Bibles to Iran. And then we bought a map. The whole story is in my books. And that we started, you know, distributing Bibles all over the capital of Iran, Tehran, and a few other cities. And we also had two home churches. Every day we were talking to people about our faith in the streets, doing our chores or doing shopping. We always talked to many people and shared our faith. And because of all those activities, finally some people reported about us and we got arrested in 2009. They sent us to one of the most horrible jails for 14 days. It was the same jail that Mahsa Amini was beaten because of not having a proper Islamic hijab. And as a result of that, she passed away, and which led to a big movement revolution in Iran. And I was in the same jail for 14 days, and they kept us there. It was like underground dungeon. There wasn't any fresh air. no light, and they would throw food at us, and they treated us like animals. They put food in a dirty pot and kick it inside the cells, and without any place or response, and we had to sleep on a cold concrete floor, covering ourselves with wet blankets that were soaked in urine. Yeah. They humiliated us in many ways because they wanted to break you. And after that, but praise God, my friend and I had a great opportunity when we were in that jail to share our faith with many prisoners who were homeless. And at the beginning, we were praying to get released. But later, when we could see that how many prisoners are coming here, they are sending more people, we felt that we need to, instead of praying for ourselves, to start praying for those hopeless people. And in that small jail, we could talk to like 80 women, and it was like a small church to us. And many of them shared and their stories, and they cried, they gave their hearts to Jesus. And later then they sent us to Evin prison, which is a very infamous prison for arresting, torturing, executing many innocent people. And I witnessed to many injustices and women's rights violations and beating up prisoners right in front of my eyes. And I experienced the execution of my cellmates, and they kept me, for example, in one cell. And then after I built a friendship, they took one of the prisoners and they executed her. And it was shocking to me. And later they executed one of my best friend in prison, that for 9 months we built a friendship. We were eating together every day. And then they brutally tortured her, and finally they hanged her. And they keep doing this to many innocent people. And inside prison, my friend and I, they insulted us because of our faith. They kept us, they isolate us, tried to isolate us in prison. But praise God, again, we had a great opportunity to share our faith with many prisoners. We had many difficult interrogations, and every time they put pressure on us to deny our faith in Jesus, they told us, at the end, they just told us, if you just write one sentence renouncing your faith in Jesus, we will release you. But we knew that they are liars, and I told them, I shared my story with them, and I told them, hey, I didn't come to faith, just I wanted to change my religion. This is my story. I had many experiences with him. I experienced his love, and that's why I gave my heart to Jesus, and I told them, go ahead and hang me. I'm not going to deny my faith in Jesus. Even if you cut each part of my body, I'm not going to deny it. And finally, because of, you know, lots of international pressures, many Christian organizations have started advocating for me and my friends, sending letters to prison, putting pressure on the government. Amnesty International shared the story, and Pope from Vatican sent a letter to government on behalf of us. And some people later we met here at the State Department, they mentioned that they were talking with the regime behind the scene over our case. And because of all those pressures and supports that we received from Christians all around the world, and of course, with the grace of God, finally we got released. They had to release us, because when a case gets international attention, they try to be cautious, and they change their behavior. That's why I always encourage people, especially right now that Iranian people are suffering under this terrorist regime, and they are keep killing people, arresting people, executing them, shooting at them. I always tell that, try to, you know, talk on behalf of those people, try to let the international community to know what's going on. And Iranian people, as you know, these days are fighting for their freedoms, and they are sacrificing their lives. And unfortunately, our policies is not the right policy, our foreign policy, especially with the current administration, Biden administration, sending billions of dollars to terrorists. This is a wrong policy, and it's betraying Iranian people who are fighting for their freedoms. And I'm just keep sharing my story here to let people how much is important for us as Christians to stand up for our faith, for our values. And I always tell people, look at me, I'm just an example that I'm trying to share my story to tell them how it is going to be persecution if we don't stand up for our faith and our values. Iranian people in 1979, they lost their freedoms. We had a great country, a great king, and the country was modern. We had a great economy, but just a minority group started advocating for a fanatic Muslim to come to power, and the rest of people were silent and they did nothing. That's why I try to warn people that we have a responsibility. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to speak up and to stand up for our faith, because if we do not do that, we will lose our freedom here too. And it has already started.
Now, when you were in prison, were the guards, were they female or male?
It was two section. Women and men are separated. In women, women's ward, there are women's guards, but it's interesting. For beating up prisoners, they would use male guards. And every time they wanted to search cells, they would attack to prison a bunch of male guards for torturing and beating up women.
Well, I think I see some people at the door here. I think they're wanting some of your time. This is a host that's with you, I believe. It's a lady that's with
you.
Yeah. So they're looking at their clock, and I guess you have other scheduled events to go to.
I may have to go. I don't know how much I talked.
We've been here about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think they're ready for you. I hate to say, we don't want to talk to you anymore. We do, because your message and your story is just, it's unbelievable. We probably should let her go.
And
we want to thank you so much.
Yes.
God bless you. What an amazing story. Thank you for sharing with us.
God bless you.
And I'll reach out, post some links, and contact you on this post, and I'll send you the link.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that people can get both my books. Captive in Iran is just about my story, being in prison for 9 months, and I was sentenced to death by hanging with my friend. And praise God, because of all those international supports and pressure on the regime, I'm alive today. And my second book I recently published is A Love Journey with God. And
those are on your website.
Yeah, both books they can get through my website, which is marziesjourney.com.
I'll post that link on our video as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death,
and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.